listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. That's what Paul prayed for when he wrote to the church at Rome. He stated, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Reading from God's holy word, as we have it in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Luke, writing this, describing here Cornelius and Peter's call to minister to him. Acts chapter 10, reading first the first 8 verses, and then some of the other verses later in the chapter. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel spake unto Cornelius, was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Then in the next verses we have the description of God giving a vision to Peter and telling him that there are men that are going to come, giving him the understanding by a vision of unclean animals being let down. Right after that vision that Peter had, the men came and said to Peter, as we read in verse 22 of Acts 10, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, and is of good report of all the nation, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house to hear words of thee. And then we have some of the traveling and going the next day. And then in verse 33 of Acts chapter 10, after he came there, Cornelius said to Peter, Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear things that are commanded thee of God. Then we read in verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. There is more following and more between, but let's pray that God will give us what we need from this chapter and from this narrative of God teaching Cornelius and using Peter to do so, and particularly preaching the gospel to him. Our Father, we give thanks for these words. We give thanks for this picture of the beginning of, Father, your work to the Gentiles, at least in this measure and at this time. We think of others being called earlier in the history of Israel. But here, Father, we see the gospel being preached to one. And we pray, Father, for understanding of it for all of us, both Jew and Gentile. We pray that we may know that not one is better than the other, and that all of us together need that gospel of Christ, that we need him dying for our sin, that we need him rising again and to live in us. And we pray, Father, that we might be taught these things both by thy word and spirit. We also give thanks for these examples that we have here, often misunderstood. And we pray that with thy Holy Spirit, thou wilt lead us into the truth of them as we need to know them, in leading us both to repentance toward thee, Father, and faith toward Christ. We pray this message might be a blessing both to the church and to the world, that the church might be revived and the world might be awakened and saved. We pray that many laborers might be called and sent to all parts of the world, beginning with the church being called to repentance, called to obedience, called to faith and love, and then, Father, being made strong once again, as it was on the day of Pentecost or the days following. We pray also and give thanks for the temporal blessings and nature, the many that we have and others do not have that are suffering because of the ravages of nature. We pray for thy mercy on them, homeless, hungry, flooded, earthquakes, all these calamities. We pray that we might understand thy judgments and learn from them and be made to repent. And we pray that there may be chastenings that will teach us and not just judgments that will fall upon us. We pray, Father, also for the blessings needed in the body, for those that are sick, injured. We pray for the sorrowing. We pray for the elderly, the lonesome. We pray especially for troubled and broken homes and the children in those homes. We pray for the schools that they might again teach the truth and not the lie, especially, Father, to teach that thou alone art the creator of the heaven and the earth and all things therein. It is in thee that we live and move and have our being. We pray, Father, for thy blessing on every need that there is, and all the sorrows, all the troubles, and we pray that we might be able to cast all of our care on thee, knowing that through Christ thou dost care for us. Amen. As we look at this narrative, and I think of it throughout my life, of different ways in which people thought of it, spoke of it, I can remember people sometimes wondering about themselves. And when we think of the message of last week, except ye be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And when that is preached, when it is taught, when it's experienced, there will be some that I've heard say, well, what about Cornelius? As if that was not true for him, thinking of how he is described in that second verse of this 10th chapter of Acts, a devout man and one that feareth God with all his house and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Some people think, well, that's the way I am. I've always loved God, always been a Christian, and I don't have to think about being converted. I don't have to think about in this time of my life becoming as a little child. Do you know that Cornelius did? Think of what we read. We read of how God told him to send for Peter, and how that already in verse 6, as the angel was talking to him, telling Cornelius about Peter, he said, he lodges with one Simon the Tanner. And then especially the last part of that verse, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. He had to receive that in a childlike way. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. When the servants of Cornelius came by Peter, we read in verse 22, how they conveyed the message to Peter when they met, and they described Cornelius, much again as Luke describes him in the second verse. They gave this message to Peter and said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of Jews. And then listen to the last part of the verse. Was warned from God by an holy angel for to send thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Send for him. You must hear words. Cornelius, though you're described as a just man, you're described as a giving man, You're described as a man that fears God. You're a man that described as praying to God always. And yet was warned that he must have words spoken to him to hear words of thee, Peter. Then, when he came, again we have the same thought repeated. After he arrived at Cornelius' house, the last part of verse 33, now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. All things commanded. Yes, all things. That would include being in that number of being converted. Not necessarily that Peter preached every word of the Scripture, but he would do as Paul later said when he left the church at Ephesus for the last time, that he had not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Do you know that if all of the church declared the whole counsel of God, we would be one? We would be what Christ prayed for, that they might be one, that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ, especially if it was not only preached, but believed, and the church would be made one in the truth, rather than all the traditions, all the restings of Scripture, all the denyings, all the thinking, I'm different, I'm better, I don't have to become as a little child, I don't have to be converted. Do you know that Cornelius had to be saved? Saved. Yes, saved. When we go to chapter 11, after Peter returned, he again rehearsed him coming there and what Cornelius said. Verse 13 of chapter 11, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And then verse 14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Not just by being baptized, but hearing. Hearing shall tell thee whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Going back to verse 33 of the 10th chapter, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. As Paul will write later to the church at Rome, faith cometh by hearing. And as he will write to another church, without faith it's impossible to please God. And that doesn't mean faith in ourselves. That doesn't mean faith that we can pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and think we have a great faith. That means faith in God. It means faith in His Word, every word. That tells us we're sinners. That we have a humble faith, knowing God is right. When he says, by the pen of the psalmist, and again Paul writing it, are we better than they? In no wise we have together become unprofitable. Together, you, me, everybody else, Paul and others, all the way back to Abraham. How is Abraham described by Paul in Romans chapter 4? David and Abraham are described as they believing in God who justified the ungodly. We may have a form of godliness. We may have, as we may believe, Cornelius had the beginning of godliness. He evidently was influenced by the Jews. He was influenced by the Word of God. He was influenced probably to some extent by hearing the gospel. As Peter said, recorded in verse 37, that word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And then from John to Christ. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's only part of the message that we have of Christ. We have much more through the Old Testament, much more in the Gospels, much more throughout all the epistles, all the message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Eternal Son, the one with him, the one, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled himself and took on him the form of a man, then went to the death of the cross, that terrible death, humbling death, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And then those wonderful words following, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. That was the Jesus that Peter was preaching here to Cornelius and saying, the Jews killed him, they slew him, they hanged him on a tree. And verse 40 of Acts 10, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And then verse 42, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That must have been a necessary message for Cornelius. He had to have the message of remission of sins. And as we read part of the message that was rehearsed after Peter got back, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Yes, all thy house. We often hear about household baptisms, but you know that there must be household believers that have to be saved to be baptized rightly. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, Paul said to the Philippian jailer, and thy house. And a little later we read, he preached unto him and to all that was in his house the word of God. And we read, they all believed, they all rejoiced, they all were baptized together, hearing, believing, rejoicing, being baptized. Don't try to take those things apart that God has put together. We do it in marriage. We do it in salvation. We do it to our own hurt. It's here, plain, an example, a message given to Cornelius. That Peter said, what about, that people said, what about Cornelius? As if he was righteous, I'm righteous. He didn't have to be saved. I don't have to be saved. Cornelius had to be saved. And he had to have remission of sins. And he had to even have repentance. What is the final conclusion of all that happened? Acts chapter 11, after they rehearsed it, they took Peter to task somewhat that he went there to the Gentiles, but they concluded together. Yes, they concluded together. They weren't left, as so often we read in the Old Testament, the time of the judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we have that so much today. Terrible. So far from what I mentioned a moment ago, being in one accord, being one in the Lord, that we honor God's name, we honor His Son, and we give a message to the world that it needs, that Christ came, and that in being one in Him, that even the world can recognize the difference, than the church in confusion, the church in division, the church in pride, torn apart. Terrible. That's what it is. Much like the Laodiceans, say you are rich and need of nothing, knowest not that thou art poor and wretched and miserable and naked and blind. And I'm afraid we're in that terrible situation today so much. A salt that have lost its savor. We need a new beginning, like Cornelius had. Chapter 11, verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace. They were quiet. They submitted. They also were like little children, believing it. They held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. I'd like to shout it. Wonderful words of life, as one song says. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. We can only have them because they're in Scripture. We can only have them because they come from God. We can only have them because they're in Christ. Then hath God granted also unto the Gentiles repentance unto life. Repentance to take us down, to make us as little children. Life to lift us up in Christ, to make us one with the Father. Sons of God, joint heirs with Christ, that the Spirit will witness that we are children of God. The Spirit will witness that we have the remission of sins. The Spirit will witness that He has given us Christ and continues to show us the things of Christ. Repentance unto life, the very last word of this whole narrative. Life, life, life in Christ. All true repentance, all true humbling, all true turning to God from idols, makes us know our need of Christ and gives us life in Christ, because it's God teaching, it's God doing. Listen, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted, given, all grace, all unearned, all undeserved. We don't deserve repentance. We need repentance. We should repent. But we'd rather kill Christ than repent. As He said, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. When you're speaking to Nicodemus, read it in John chapter 3. Read those verses after that wonderful verse of John 3:16. Then we will know that we need repentance unto life. Then we will know that we must be saved. Then we will know that we must hear words from God that He commands and must be preached. And Peter preached them. Cornelius believed them. And we didn't read that part, but it said, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them when they heard the word. And one of the things Peter said that fell on them as on us at the beginning. Here we have the same blessing to the Gentiles as was given to those devout men that needed to be saved, described in Acts chapter 2. Our time is gone. Hear the word, believe it, and be saved.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.